When it's the dog days of summer, that means just one thing. Time to clock out, sit back, relax.
Shut up!
Yeah.
All right? How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
And away we go here on a Friday afternoon. It's the best hour of your day now officially underway. It's Moneyline, SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission, carrying you into the weekend. A lot of hot topics around there, which include a game six in the NHL tonight. And thank goodness. Why? We were probably only expecting four games in that series. But the Edmonton Oilers won game number four on their home ice, went to Florida and won game number five in enemy territory. Now back in Edmonton, Alberta tonight to take on the Florida Panthers to see if they can force a game number seven, which will be played on Monday night. We'll see if they can do that. Major League Baseball, obviously going to be a hot topic today. Very good day for your boy Donnie Wrightside on the bases yesterday, particularly with the RBI market. I got another couple games to take a look at today. One, two, three, as many as four games that I have picked out today, which is one, two, three, four, five, six different players with RBI chances. We'll hit that entire Major League Baseball card today, and away we go. Now, you know it. The hot topics are always here. They're always going to pass through. If anything pops up on social media, you know I'm going to be getting after it. But having said that, the Lakers always seem like they're leading the, I don't know, Twitter sphere, Facebook, Insta, ESPN, Sports Grid, whenever they do something. Why? Because it's always a great talking point, because it typically deals with LeBron James. Now we're also dealing with LeBron James's son, Bronny James, which brings us to why we're actually talking about the Lakers today. A four-year contract that has been offered and accepted by J.J. Redick to become the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, and what that actually means. I don't have an issue with this at all, because I know there's people out there, if you're a Lakers fan, and you like it or dislike it, so be it. If you're a basketball fan, you like it or dislike it, so be it. But from my end of it, I don't really have any stake in the game on the Los Angeles Lakers. And quite frankly, outside of a handful of coaches in the NBA, do they really honestly make a difference? I mean, what is their goal? Babysit superstar players just so they're happy and can play well, and then you see if you can win a championship when it's all said and done. But J.J. Redick now makes it official. He will be the Lakers' next coach, trying to assemble a staff that's certainly going to help him. Because you can play all the basketball you want. You can be around all the coaches you want. But when it's finally your time to sit in that big chair, you want to surround yourself with as many solid assistants and veteran NBA guys as you can find. So we'll see where it comes around and how he fills out that coaching staff. But the interesting part to me is, when that press conference comes up, right? Because everybody in life, nobody wants to be second choice anytime. Hey, man, I asked this girl out. She said, you know what? If so-and-so didn't ask me out, I definitely would have said okay to you. Oh, that feels, no, it doesn't feel good. Like, second place doesn't work in that spot here. You race somebody. Hey, man, I think I'm the fastest kid in my class. 3, 2, 1, pow. You run the 100-yard dash, come in second. Hey, Donnie, man, you were really fast. Yeah, but that other guy was faster than me. The point I'm trying to make is, J.J. Redick, 5, 6 weeks ago at this point, what were we thinking about him? He was going to be the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. It was just a formality. And we wondered why it took so long for J.J. Redick to actually be the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Only to find out, Jeannie Buss and the Buss family were going behind the scenes and making a little bit of waves here to try to get Dan Hurley away from the UConn Huskies. And it looked like they did. Dan Hurley said, you know what? I'll listen to this. Let me jump on that plane and fly out. And for all intents and purposes, he really enjoyed his visit. He wants to be an NBA coach. It just was going to come down to the bottom line. And that's the dollars. And do they make sense? And they didn't make sense for Dan Hurley, who said, wait, so I'm going to leave my job at UConn. if I just do well at UConn, number one, they're going to pay me more money here, but also the NBA is always going to come calling. And there are some other owners that will offer me much, much more than the Los Angeles Lakers did. And then I might take that job if, again, the money is right. But that doesn't help J.J. Redick in the room here. So we're led to believe that probably LeBron James was pushing for J.J. Redick to be the head coach. They said, you know what, I think it makes some sense. And then they fell in love with Dan Hurley, and there was a chance that they reached out that Hurley could be available. But again, they messed up the bag in that situation. They should have locked it down with Hurley, didn't offer him enough money. Even though, again, to mere mortals like us out here listening and driving around doing our 9-to-5 jobs, 10 years, $70 million or something in that range, or 6 years, I should say, 70 or so million dollars, that resonates. But when you thought that contract number was going to have a 100 on it or more, things change up a little bit. So Hurley stays at UConn, and that opens back up the door. Like, oh, who's going to be the Lakers head coach? Let me go back to my second choice once again in J.J. Redick. And the reason I bring this up here is because when you think about it, if you are J.J. Redick now, the territory just got a little bit steeper there. Climbing that terrain where you already know, like, hey, look, they wanted me as a head coach. They trusted me. Does that doubt ever creep in now? You open up the season next year, 10-15. Wow, man, I knew it. He wasn't the guy for the job, and, you know, we had our thoughts, and we thought he might be right, and we thought we had a better coach, but then we had to go back to him. And also, I'm still waiting. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I was just enjoying some lunch out here in these streets. I didn't see the financials on J.J. Redick and what the cost is going to be to get J.J. Redick signed here with the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, obviously, he agreed to become their head coach, so those financials are done. I need to see what they actually are. Because there's no way it's anywhere near what they were offering to Danny Hurley. Now, he got 4 years, J.J. Redick. They were offering 6 years to Hurley. That was also interesting. But what is that price point now? Because the Lakers were lowballing the hell out of Dan Hurley. What did they do for a first-time head coach in J.J. Redick, who you know needs that job more than the Lakers need to offer him as a head coach? So what do you mean, Don? He's gainfully employed. He's on, you know, the broadcast all over the place. I get that. That's not what I'm saying here. J.J. Redick wants to break into coaching. It's apparent. So the Lakers can probably sit back and say, you know what? I mean, there's a lot of coaches we can probably hire. Yeah, we'll take a chance on J.J. Redick, but we're not sold that he's going to be the greatest coach or can even be somewhat. So, hey, look at Steve Kerr. Look what he's doing at Golden State. Maybe J.J. Redick can be Steve Kerr, but you're not going to pay him like Steve Kerr right off the bat, $17 million per year. I'm interested to see what that number is, because also, if you're J.J. Redick and his agent, you saw six for 70 on the table. The Lakers, rightfully so, like, that's irrelevant to the conversation, and technically it is. Unless you say, well, we were offering six, now we're dropping to four, and they go, okay, well, what's that money, right? Is it going to be four, like, honestly, is it going to be like 4 years, $20 million? Well, they were saying, you know, we're going to lay out $70 million for a new coach, and we're going to drop it down to $20 million. Like, to be honest, like, what should you pay a first year coach? And you already know that the Lakers aren't blowing anybody out of the water, because the interesting part would have been if, hey, you know what, man, we got Hurley out here. He liked us. We liked him. We offered him 10 years, $120 million, life-changing money where if we fire you, you never have to work again. Now, granted, 6 years, $70 million, you probably don't have to work again. But the point is that money would have been so much that, oh, my gosh, he still turned us down at this point. He must really love UConn. Which then J.J. enters the picture and goes, hey, there's a lot of money to be thrown around here. Because also, the same way players will tell you, right? It's never been about the money, man. It's always been about the opportunity. Meanwhile, these NFL players are holding out. Like, you know, somebody like Justin Jefferson. Man, it's never been about the money. It's always about the respect. Stop it. Then why don't you just say, you know what? I love football so much. I love the Minnesota Vikings. Give me a veteran minimum deal. You know that's not going to happen at that point. It's not happening. I need to see the financials on J.J. Redick. I need to see what that final paycheck is and see how much they value him being their head coach. But we got Major League Baseball on deck, people. Let's get those handicapping shoes on. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Boy, we're almost just officially in the baseball season. You say, what are you talking about, man, Donnie? You say April, May, early part of June. That's baseball season. But now that we find ourselves on the brink of another major sport like the NHL, could end tonight. Which means that full focus over the next couple weeks does turn into Major League Baseball before... Look, it's June 21st right now. How we did, what, 30 days? September, April, June. All right, so June 30th, right? The minute that we get to July 1st, to me, it's football season. It really is. Now, you know what's funny about this? Like, I like to say, like, in my other life, pre-doing, you know, content, video, radio, and all that stuff. I mean, I've always liked to gamble, and I've done it my entire life. But working, let's just say, in a desk environment, an office environment, or even when I had my sandwich shops here, like, you would just work, like, whatever, long days. You get home at night, and what was the salvation for me, honestly, was July the 1st. Because it meant that, okay, like, I like sports all year round just like anybody else, but there was always something special to me to when football season was about to begin. And it just felt like you didn't have to wait anymore the minute you hit July, because you knew that that month training camps were starting up and away you go. Now, granted, my life now and my job is sports, so do I still really get excited when it hits July? Absolutely. But talking sports for a living as opposed to, you know, you guys out there really pounding the pavement out there, making your way through your 9-to-5s and just trying to put food on the table and say, you know what, the weekend's coming up, it's time to relax. You know, that's when you say, like, man, football season's around the corner, that's going to be great. I talk it and live it, basically, 24 hours a day. But it's still that rite of passage where, yes, you know me, guys. I love baseball. It's probably the most fun thing to handicap because you keep coming back strong every single day with multiple games and also that chess matches, making sure you're trusting your numbers. As opposed to the NFL, yeah, it's going to be a Monday night football game, a Thursday night football game, Sunday slate, right? But Major League Baseball is all day long, every day, for basically 6 months. And it's great, and we love it. But having said that, again, just something to July 1st turning into football season. Now, as I digress, Major League Baseball certainly fully underway. Yesterday, there were some interesting doings. Let's start with that Orioles-Yankees game. 17-5. Luis Gil, I don't want to say the phenom pitcher for the New York Yankees, he was absolutely sensational this season. Quite frankly, still with the statistics after getting roughed up yesterday by the Orioles, he's 9-2 with a 2.77 ERA. After yesterday, which he went, guys, 1 1/3 innings, 8 hits, 7 earned runs. Blasted, wasted, great series here for the Orioles. Why? Because they won the series. And they scored 17 runs against the Bronx Bombers, which included, forget about the first part of the game where they scored 6 runs in the second inning. They continue to pour it on. 5th inning, 3 runs. 6th inning, 1 run. 7th inning, 2 runs. 8th inning, 2 runs. 9th inning, 1 run. It's like every single inning, they were smashing the Yankees pitching staff. But Gil went down, which, this is going to be interesting. I explained it this morning and even yesterday. If you are an Orioles fan, you have to love the Yankees being in your division. Same thing with the New York Yankees. If you are a fan, you love the Orioles there. And it's simple, because if you didn't have either one of those teams here, those guys would be running away with the AL East. And then you could have ownership sit on their hands and say, man, we're good. Nobody's going to challenge us. We're going to win this division. If we win our division, obviously, we're good enough to compete in the playoffs. And they will be good enough to compete. But the fact of the matter is these two teams will be battling the entire summer. And it might just come down to who's willing to go in at the trade deadline to get those key players that you're going to need to surpass the Yankees. Or the Yankees to hold off the Baltimore Orioles. But that was a shot yesterday, man. Gunnar Henderson, 3 hits. Adley Rutschman, 3 hits. Who else was knocking it around? O'Hearn, 2 hits. Santander, 2 hits. Westberg, 2 hits. Mullins, 2 hits. Hayes. Did Hayes get 2 hits there? Hayes had 1 hit, but had 2 RBIs. I mean, he had 2 guys in the middle of that lineup. Mountcastle and O'Hearn. 8 RBIs combined, which means each of them got 4. That's unbelievable. And that's a great victory for them yesterday. We'll get to what's going to happen today, because I do think there's a chance that the Orioles stay hot today going up against the Houston Astros. We'll get to that to a little bit. But I think the crown jewel that we were watching yesterday and most people were probably involved in. Major League Baseball, say what you want about them. Me, I'm more pro-baseball than most people. 9 out of 10 people hate every commissioner in every sport. I hate Roger Goodell. Can't stand that guy. Yeah, you love the NFL, though, don't you? Gary Bettman, he's the worst commissioner in sports. If you're a hockey fan, you're probably really enjoying this playoff run, which includes this final with the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. But the reason I bring this up is sometimes sporting events and sometimes sporting leagues do deserve some credit. And if you are going to honor players from the past, like in the Negro Leagues, they did it right in Major League Baseball. They go to Rickwood Field there and they say, you know what? Let's plan this a year or so out. Let's redo the stadium a bit, spend $5-6 million, fix this up. We'll bring in the fences, because obviously Major League Baseball can't have wooden fences out there. And let's bring them in a little bit. Let's, you know, bring in some temporary lighting to get it so that it's adequate to Major League Baseball facility standards. Let's redo the field itself. We'll paint it up. We'll make it look really nice. And that's half of the battle. The other half of the battle is, how's the presentation going to be to honor the players of the past? And they brought in legend after legend after legend. And I find myself, because for me, I'm more of a stat guy, right? I don't have to watch every single pitch in a Major League Baseball game. Like, I'll watch it so I can enjoy the Phillies because they're my team. But outside of that, I'm just following along, seeing some of the statistics, getting the updates on my phone, checking in. Oh, that's interesting. This guy got a base hit. Who got the RBI here? You get the picture. But the fact that I watched more of the pregame than the regular season game yesterday at Rickwood Field told the story, because I wanted to hear the stories of those players coming back to Rickwood Field and what it meant to them and remembering what happened to them in the 1960s and getting that history lesson out there to say, man, 1910, this field's been around. What an absolute crown jewel of so many elite baseball players coming through this field. Major League Baseball should have a game every single year at Rickwood Field. They did it right yesterday. So take a bow, Major League Baseball, and even the people, the staunchest, that are saying, I hate the commissioner. Commissioner of Major League Baseball put on a damn good show down there last night in Birmingham, Alabama. More baseball to come. Don't go anywhere. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a glorious day here on the East Coast. It's hot, people. Headed to 100 degrees over here. And I know some of you guys live down in that Vegas area, or let's just say in the southeastern part of the United States, and you say to yourself, ah, it's hot all the time here, Donnie. And man, we're in those dog days of summer already, and it's only June 21st at this point. It's going to be hot, but sometimes that is fantastic, people, for hitting weather. Now, we do have a game going live right now in Major League Baseball, the New York Mets and the Chicago Cubs. No score, but two runners on. Nobody out, top of the first inning. This is, you know, when you take a look at Shota Imanaga, who on paper obviously is a better pitcher than Jose Quintana, who's going to go for the New York Mets today. But he has shown in the past couple starts here vulnerability that we didn't see all the way through April and May. And also, Major League Baseball teams, much like NFL teams, hey, look at this, man. We can't stop this wrinkle in somebody's offense in the NFL. Let some of these guys get some videotape on what these teams want to do. And then they start compressing that team to say, you know what? We know you like to do this. We're not going to allow you to do that. Well, in Major League Baseball with pitchers, it's like, hey, you know what? What is he throwing on 3-2? Does he like to open up with a fastball? Does he open up with breaking balls? What's his favorite pitch? What's his usage rate on that pitch? You get the point there. Eventually, they'll try to find you out. Now, some of these pitchers are so damn good, it doesn't matter. You can even, hey, fastball's coming. I can't touch that thing, man. It's too much moving on that fastball. Take a look at J.D. Martinez up the plate. He just smashed one. 3-0. New York Mets. The Grimace Mets are now up 3-0, people. I didn't bet anything in this game. because you try to trust the numbers and all that stuff. Now, granted, very nice day, as I'm watching right now on the MLB Network. I don't really know. I didn't check where the wind was actually blowing out, but it is blowing out today. There you go. 68, 69 degrees. So a beautiful day in the Windy City, and J.D. Martinez just ripped a three-run home run. So the first three batters of the game reach base, and the Cubbies are already down. Now, if we were handicapping this one, right, you're probably going for an over now, because I do think there's a chance that Jose Quintana can basically get blown away in this game. If we look at Quintana on the season, let me see how many innings he's had. 33 and two-thirds innings on the road, a 6.68 ERA, which, again, I don't care, but it just gives some people a baseline. If they know that ERA number, just say, okay, looks like he's a bad pitcher. By the way, his BAPIP on the road, too, batting average with balls in play, it's a 342. Man, that's ridiculous. But he does have an XFIP number of 4.59 on the road. They should be able to hit him. But now it looks like he's going to be booed with a three-run lead, and we'll see how that turns out. But again, as I said, I didn't bet anything in this game, but I do think there's a chance that some of those Cubs batters can have a decent day. If we're looking at the Chicago Cubs today, there's not a lot of guys in that lineup. Here's always the issue, right? Quintana coming in this game, I just told you, not a great road pitcher. But even over the last 30 days, his weighted on base percentage and ISO power numbers are really elevated. 107 batters he's faced, a 260 ISO, and a weighted on base percentage of 364. That's not good. So we're probably going to be getting runs today. And again, it's easy to say that now when you're seeing the first three guys reach base in a 3-0 lead already for the New York Mets. But I didn't bet that game, sort of left it off of the board. Now, if we're taking a look today and sort of setting that table, statistics that I'm using, the last 60 days in Major League Baseball, minimum 20 innings pitched of how some of these guys are doing. Now, you know me, I love those XFIP minus numbers, but sometimes I just like to isolate and say, you know what, forget about the league average or where they're pitching at. Just let me know how these guys are doing. Like, are they able to grind out victories and get out of jams, or, you know, just that they just have high XFIP numbers to begin with. Now, here's the trick. Typically, when there's a game in Colorado, that's one of the pitchers that you immediately look to fade, because he's in Colorado, and you have to look, well, is that going to change if he pitches down in Miami against the Marlins? Well, I mean, typically it does, because he's pitching in a great pitcher's ballpark as opposed to the worst pitcher's ballpark, which is up in Colorado. But Dakota Hudson on the season, 52 and a third innings pitched, XFIP of 5.03, which is the worst on the card today with a minimum of 20 innings. An ERA of 4.82. So you go, well, I mean, that's not fair, but he is pitching at home, so who cares how he would do on the road or what his road splits are? Because to be honest, Dakota Hudson only he drops that number down to a 3.07, but his XFIP is still really high, and that's the key indicator that I look for, which means light strikeouts, high fly ball rate. But at home this year, Dakota Hudson, a 7.16 ERA and a 5.30 XFIP number. So he tends to give it up here, is what I'm saying. So if you're looking from a Washington perspective, even the analytical numbers are really high for Dakota Hudson, but he actually has some low ISO and weighted on base percentages here. But still, that's not enough to keep me away. Lane Thomas, Joey Meneses makes some sense there if you're looking to bet the Nationals. There's going to be runs, people. It's 81-degree temperatures, 5-mile-an-hour winds blowing out there, and Dakota Hudson is not a good pitcher. Meneses and Thomas, that gets our baseball started today. Let's continue to handicap. Let's make some money. Why? Friday is payday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Party out here on a Friday afternoon at the Sports Grid Network, Major League Baseball on the TV, and looks like Imanaga got out of that first inning. No more damage done after that three-run shot by J.D. Martinez. So we'll see how Quintana does today and see if he can get through this lineup and see how many runs they can stack up on the board. Some of the interesting topics that come out, which I get asked a lot about, are, you know, how do you handle certain situations when you're betting Major League Baseball? One of those situations is dealing with an opener. It's like, oh no, that could change things up. Keep in mind here, the opener's job is to come in as if he's a closer opening the game. Probably has really good stuff, only in there for probably three batters at the most, and it's designed to give your starting pitcher a little bit of a breather. Well, what does it need a breather for? It's the beginning of the game. Breather meaning usually the first top three guys in your lineup are primarily your better hitters. So if a guy can come in with somewhat electric stuff, get those first three guys out, your starting pitcher comes in the second inning, starts with the four guy, and you don't get that avalanche that you might get in the first inning. And also, what are you actually doing? You're trying to stall time for a pitcher that you don't think is all that great. Because otherwise, you'd be like, hey, Gerrit Cole needs an opener every game because it makes sense. No, it doesn't. You just let Gerrit Cole spin because you figure he's one of the best pitchers in the game and should be dominant from start to finish. Now, the reason I bring this up is we typically get an opener, on some of these pitching performances. Today, Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh. Now, normally you'd say to yourself, well, of course, Tampa Bay was like the leader of the ingenuity on making sure we have openers. Pepiot's going to go on the mound today. He's not an opener. But if you take a look on the opposite side, the Pittsburgh Pirates, Carmen Majinski. And by the way, that's a tough name to say because it looks like Mladzinski, but it's Majinski. He's going to be an opener. He's going to open for Ortiz tonight. The good part about that is, however, he has very good statistics just based on ISO power number and weighted on base percentages. However, still right-handed pitcher. So the pitcher that's going to come in after him, Ortiz, he's also a right-handed pitcher. So it's not as if you're bringing in a filthy lefty and then handing it over to a righty because you wanted to get those first lefties out. In the lineup today, and it's not official yet for the Tampa Bay Rays. Looks like Diaz, Lau, and Paredes. 1, 2, 3. Now, to be honest, the Rays lineup stinks out loud. It really does. Specifically against right-handed pitching, which is never the case in Major League Baseball. Usually some of those guys are ready to step up. There's one guy in that lineup that I do trust, and that's Brandon Lau. 62 at-bats, a .275 ISO, and a weighted on-base percentage of .384 over the past month. He's going to be on my RBI card. But the reason I started this conversation was not to tell you that the Tampa Bay Rays have one hitter that I like tonight. It's that same thing with the leadoff position. Like, oh, no. McKevin asked me the other day, how do you handle a situation where now you're saying, okay, well, Shohei Ohtani used to bat, let's just say, second or third in the lineup. Now he's batting leadoff. Don't worry about that. The sequencing, you just have to get lucky. It's almost like a free swinging at bat, your first at bat, because he's going to get more at bats than anybody on that team. And maybe you're throwing away that first at bat, but you have to keep in mind, he's still going to get more at bats than probably the guys 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th in that lineup. And you're getting that extra at bat, which how many times do you watch it, which included yesterday, a Shohei Ohtani home run. So whenever there's an opener there, it's only one inning, and it might affect your guys. And by the way, when some of these openers are in, you might have a guy that's 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th in the lineup that doesn't even affect it. But when it does today, because Lau is expected to bat in the two-hole today, he is going to face Majinski before handing it over to Luis Ortiz. So, short story here. Don't worry all so much about that. Because the opener's not, hey, by the way, opener pitched well in the first inning. He might go all five. Like, no. He's coming to pitch like 13 or 14 pitches like a closer and then going to the bench. So, don't worry about that at all. But in that game, again, Majinski, who does have good numbers with ISO and weighted on base percentage versus lefties and righties, gives way to Luis Ortiz. Now, also keep in mind, Ortiz on the season, 31 and two-thirds innings pitched. That's going to be the Bucks pitcher. Tony, how could you go against him? He's got a 1.99 ERA. He's filthy. We don't look at those numbers. We look at the analytical numbers that tells you the underlying value of that pitcher. His xFIP on the season is 4.48. Now, let's get to Ortiz at home. And this is crazy. So he's pitched almost 20 innings at home. Is it a ton? No. But it's enough to get a good visual on what he's been doing. Typically when you say, all right, well, if his overall numbers are that good, he's probably even better at home because technically Pittsburgh is a pitcher's environment, not a hitter's environment. But there's 25 pitchers on the card today. And granted, it's not fair because not all home. But just based on if these pitchers were home, do you know who the worst pitcher is on this card, XFIP-wise? It's Luis Ortiz. Pittsburgh Pirates, 5.61 XFIP at home. But get this, people. Here's what's tough. He's got a 2.29 ERA. So you say to yourself, I can't go near that. That's filthy at home. He's having an unbelievable season. Trust me on that. Sooner than later, those numbers catch up to you. I call it dancing between the raindrops. You go outside and say, hey, man, I didn't even get hit by any of this rain. Stay out there another 5 minutes. You're going to get pounded by rain, right? That's the same thing when we look at that ERA to XFIP number. Look at that XFIP number. That tells you the expectations on what are supposed to happen. And then you line up what actually happened. Like his FIP number at home, fielding independent, which means how, not how many fly balls he's giving up, how many balls are actually going over the fence. Still 4.31. It's high. So I do think Brandon Lau is a legitimate chance. But again, the initial question is, do I just throw things out if I have an opener? Well, I mean, if you have an opener and a dominant pitcher behind the opener, then yeah, you probably throw it out because that pitcher is good. But there's a reason why you have an opener for certain pitchers, and it's not that hard to understand. It's really not. It means that pitcher needs help through the tough part of that lineup, and then he comes in to pitch, let's just say, the second through the fifth or sixth inning. Let's get back to Chicago here real quick. I told you. We're probably in for some runs here. 3-0 to start the game on a J.D. Martinez three-run shot for the Mets. So what do the Chicago Cubs come back out and do? They get their first three runners on base. Nobody out, bases loaded in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. And here's the tough part about this, right? Cody Bellinger's at the plate. I bet Cody Bellinger quite a bit this year for some RBI action. Because why? Decent hitter, middle of the lineup. You go up against a bad pitcher, he should have ducks on a pond, which he just did. But the fact that there's nobody out, right, doesn't that hurt? Like, Bellinger singles the center field. The third base coach just holds up that big stop sign. Stop there, kid! We're not risking the first run out at the plate here. So Morel gets a chance now to come up to the plate and pop one here. And see if he can really get this game going. Back-to-back strike calls here to start this at bat. He's down 0-2. We'll see if he can swing his way through it. Anything happens in this game, we'll certainly keep you updated. All right, let's keep going down the list here and taking a look at some of these opportunities, I believe, where we can make some money. Marlins and the Mariners today. I do think this is a mismatch. I really like George Kirby. I think he's a solid pitcher. Road splits this year for George Kirby. 44 innings he's pitched on the road. 470 ERA, which isn't great, but his XFIP is a 3.46. And he's going into one of the best pitching ballparks in Major League Baseball. Quite frankly, pitches in one of the best Major League ballparks for pitchers already up in Seattle. But then we flip it over to Miami and Trevor Rogers, who on this season, terrible guys, 5.73 FIP, 4.87 XFIP number, ERA over 5.5 through 48 and a third innings. But let's take a look at what he's actually been doing at home. It's not that great. 5.3. Look at that. He's got a 5.35 ERA at home in Lone Depot Park. And by the way, ground ball double play for Morel. So the fact of the matter is, those are always the tough ones when you bet an RBI. Like, let's just say you were looking at your phone, like, biz, biz, biz. All right. Cubs scored. Love it. But it was a ground ball double play where they score the run, but you don't get the RBI. Those are tough to swallow here. And that's a big timeout on the mound for Jose Quintana, because that could have got ugly quickly. But let's get back to Trevor Rogers, who home or away is really struggling this year. He's a left-handed pitcher. So you know what we probably want to do, right? He probably does well against lefties for the year, which actually isn't the case. Last 30 days, he's cleaned it up just a little bit, but still a 349 weighted on base percentage. But to righties, a 220 ISO power number over the last 66 at-bats. So when we look at Seattle, even though it's a big ballpark, Mitch Garver and Ty France in the middle of that lineup make a lot of sense. A 250 ISO and a 389 ISO power number. So the Mariners should have some guys that are on your list tonight for RBI chances. Let's get back to business after the break. It's a Friday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hot night in Philadelphia, people, tonight. And that means Citizens Bank Ballpark is going to be jumping tonight. The Arizona Diamondbacks and the Philadelphia Phillies, a rematch of the NLCS last year, which broke my heart because the Philadelphia Phillies should have shelled the Diamondbacks and ended up getting beat in 7 games. Ridiculous. All that World Series would have been great if the Phillies weren't able to challenge for it, but they weren't. But they're back at it tonight at home, and I do like a couple spots here. 92 degrees at first pitch. 8 mile an hour winds blowing out. Perfect scenery tonight for this game. My favorite RBI of the day actually comes from this game. And by the way, Ketel Marte is doubtful tonight and is not in that starting lineup. So he's probably not even available to pinch hit. But still some good bats in that lineup going up against Taijuan Walker. If we take a look at Taijuan Walker on the season and try to line up some of his numbers, 24 pitchers on the card today. Minimum 20 innings pitched over the past 60 days. He comes in at 21 out of 24. ERA, 5.33. FIP number 5.12, XFIP 4.68. Not a great pitcher by any stretch here. Batting average of balls in play, 308. Left on base percentage, 71%. But more importantly, his home runs to nine innings pitch is 1.65, so just about giving up two home runs per game. You get that ball in the air in Citizens Bank Ballpark in these temperatures tonight, it's going to leave the yard. So let's take a look at over the past 30 days and quite frankly the season for Taijuan Walker. By the way, it looks like a home run just left there. Alvarez for the New York Mets goes yard, his second of the season. Shota Iminaga, who we thought might have been one of those guys who could challenge for the Cy Young, roughs up at home today. And we're only in the top of the second with nobody out. It's two home runs already for the New York Metropolitans. The grimmest Mets are back, people. But getting back to that Arizona lineup going up against Taijuan Walker, he stinks against lefties, plain and simple. On the season, 115 batters he's faced from the left-hand side. 238 ISO, weighted on base percentage, 404. If we fast forward that to just the last 30 days, that 238 ISO goes up to a 263. Weighted on base percentage almost identical. Was 404, now it's 400. He does have really good numbers against right-handed batters. So the focus, again, you're going to want to have is on some of these lefties in the lineup. Corbin Carroll is a leadoff hitter. Probably should be in your lineup tonight, too. You know what? I might add him here. Let me just put him down. We'll go Corbin Carroll. So we'll go Corbin Carroll's a chance. He should be there. He really should be. But the guy I like the best overall, to be honest, Jock Peterson. Left-handed batter, DH tonight. Wind blowing out the right field. Pitcher struggling with lefties. Get a hold of one of those bad boys. And Jock Peterson has made me quite a good amount of money this year with RBI props. He's a 186 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 360 against right-handed batters over the past 30 days. It's a great matchup. So if you take a look at both of those guys in the top three, Corbin Carroll and Jock Peterson, great numbers here. They should be on your card tonight for RBI. I love the Phillies. I hope the Phillies win this game. I just think the offense can be provided here against Taijuan Walker. Now, if you do take a look at the Philadelphia Phillies, which I don't have the official starting lineup in front of me like I do the Arizona Diamondbacks right now. I don't feel like hitting that refresh button and resetting a couple things. Jordan Montgomery has been bad this year. He just has. ERA of 6.53. and an XFIP of 4.59. Let's take a look at his road splits here. Where are you at, Jordan? He's actually a little bit better on the road. 5.25 as an ERA, which is really bad, but a 4.29 XFIP. So you might also counter that some of those Philadelphia Phillies should be in your lineup as well. Because that's a high XFIP number. Now, I would like the XFIP number to be creeping up to that 4.5 or 5 range, right? In like a perfect scenario. But if you are looking at Jordan Montgomery, he's a left-handed pitcher, keep in mind. Here's the interesting thing about that Phillies lineup. Now, I know I've always told you guys, just trust the numbers that are in front of you. But sometimes there is that stigma or bias where it's like, okay, he's a lefty. I don't want to take left-handed batters in this lineup. But to be honest, Schwarber and Harper are decking left-handed pitchers over the past 30 days. Kyle Schwarber's ISO against lefties as a lefty, 316. Weighted on base percentage, 503. That's through 43 at-bats. Look at Bryce Harper, 38 at-bats against left-handed pitching over the past month as a lefty. 258 ISO. Weighted on base percentage, 398. So if you are honestly trusting the numbers, and also Jordan Montgomery, on the season, actually has some decent numbers, to be honest, against left-handed batters, but over the last 13, which again isn't a big baseline here, it's a 182 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 370. I don't have Phillies on my roster today. I just have two Arizona Diamondbacks, but that same equation, like, it's such hot weather and the wind's blowing out to right, like, I got to make a decision a little bit later. Does that make sense to put Schwarber and Harper in there? I mean, it just might. It really just might. It really just might. And by the way, Nick Castellanos, do I have to put him in the lineup today? So one thing I do know is the Arizona, you know what? We have to make some changes maybe. We do. Because I'm looking at some of these numbers with Montgomery. Again, it's not elite, terrible XFIP numbers, but they're bad enough at this point, right? I think I might have to go Castellanos. Why don't we just go with like a total for the game then while we're at it? Talking myself into different things. I came into this game here this afternoon going, Jock is my favorite RBI. And the more I look at it, I'm saying to myself, should we be adding on in this environment? I think we should. And I'm going to tell you something in a bit because we have one more segment to go. In that next segment, we're going to take a look at Minnesota with a phenomenal, phenomenal looking team tonight at the plate. I put a couple guys down for RBI, but I scratched them off. And I'm going to tell you why after this break here to say, you know what? Maybe they should be back. Maybe they shouldn't. But I'm trying to hold true to the numbers. And if I am honestly holding true to the numbers, we really should have Harper, Schwarber, and Castellanos on that list today. Could we have five guys with RBI shots today in this Arizona-Philadelphia Phillies game? It is overkill. But you can make an almost argument for that. Crazy town, man. And the Mets went yard again. Brandon Nimmo makes it 6-1. New York Mets, top of the second. Imanaga, he's a bust, people. He is a bust. We'll be right back to close it down. Don't you go anywhere. It's Moneyline in the afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wu-Tang Clan sends us out of here on a Friday afternoon. It's been a great week here, but I did want to explain also. You guys know me. I like to think things through, and I like to share my thoughts with the people. As a handicapper, I love sharing knowledge. And maybe you can pick up something. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you agree. But here's an interesting scenario tonight. Minnesota and Oakland out on the West Coast. 9:40 start. Same temperature every night in Oakland. Same wind blowing out to dead center field. That has no bearing on the equation. But Minnesota coming into this game, hitting right-handed pitching, they've been absolutely phenomenal over the past 30 days. There's only one guy. It's Byron Buxton. He's got a 237 weighted on base percentage in that lineup. Everybody else is a 310 or higher against righties over the past month. Castro, 386. Correa, 394. Larnach, 359. Lewis, who's been on an absolute tear, 523. Santana, 421. Miranda, 422. Vasquez, again, that low man on the totem pole, 310. Austin Martin, even through his 14 at-bats, a 458 weighted on base percentage. Eight out of the nine batters also low K percentages. The only high guy, Byron Buxton, who, again, that's why he has a low ISO and a low weighted on base percentage. Looks like the perfect lineup tonight. Take a look at Joey Estes on the mound. Right-handed pitcher. Let's just go. Look at the season. 149 batters faced. A 270 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 363 combined. Horrendous. As bad as it gets. Last 30 days, 109 batters faced. 265 ISO. Weighted on base percentage, 354. Lefties, get a hold of this. 341 ISO and a 393 weighted on base percentage over the last 44 at-bats. If we look at the season, which is 62 at-bats to lefties, a 382 ISO and a 426 weighted on base percentage. Donnie, sign me up on any lefty in that lineup, which again, probably would be Larnach at 250 ISO, 359 weighted on base percentage. And at the same time, just throw Royce Lewis in there as a right-handed batter with a 528 ISO and say, you know what, I'll live with it. This guy stinks on the mound. And you would be right. On the season, 2-2, 34 2/3 innings pitched. close to a 6 ERA over the past 60 days and an xFIP of 4.75. That's atrocious. But also keep in mind, he does pitch in one of the worst hitting ballparks in Major League Baseball. So if we take a look at the away statistics here for Joey Estes, he's just, like, his away numbers, guys, an 8 ERA through 21 and a third innings and a 5.25 xFIP. Like, line me up on this guy, Donnie. You sold me here. But here's the issue. When you get into those numbers and say, okay, what does Joey Estes do at home as opposed to on the road, which he gets cracked on? He's not sensational at home, but his ERA at home, guys, through 13 and a third innings, 2.70. xFIP number, 3.95. So a very good ERA and a manageable xFIP number. It just goes to show you some of those splits that you take a look at and say, my goodness, if we just take out home and away splits, this might be the pitcher that you are just going to load up on this game at night and get after. But here's the conundrum. The Twins might rock Joey Estes tonight. The fact of the matter is, are you going to trust your numbers and say, Larnach and Lewis are so damn good, I'm still going to put them in here? And quite frankly, if Minnesota was at home tonight and not on the road against Oakland, you would be teeing off on Minnesota. Team totals, weighted, you know, home run props, RBI props, base hits, bases, you name it. You'd be after it. But this is what makes it so tough. Now, I had Larnach and Lewis on my list and crossed them out. But it's insane. Again, if you're not looking at splits and just known as what's going down this year, Estes looks like the worst pitcher on the card by a mile. But the fact that it really upsets me that he's so bad on the road and decent at home, it's really hard to get behind it. Now, if you were just saying, Donnie, if you had to bet this, money wasn't an issue, we gave you free wagers, would you bet it? Yes, I absolutely would bet this game. And I would take Larnach, and I would take Lewis, and you look at Santana and Moran and Vasquez and Correa. You get the point here, right? Even Willie Castro's leading off with a 386, man. Stop. All the conundrums that we handicappers and gamblers have to deal with, because this could have been the perfect storm that may not turn out to be a storm at all. I don't think I'm taking Larnach and Lewis tonight. They were on my card and I crossed it off. And when I wake up tomorrow morning and I come and check those numbers and see like Larnach and Lewis went deep, that's when you're going to get an angry. That's when it gets angry. But it's the choices we make, and hopefully we'll make those right choices tonight. A big weekend on deck. The NHL playoffs tonight. Game number 6 of the Stanley Cup. Will we see a game number 7? It's been a fantastic week all the way through, and I do want to give a shout-out to my guy Chris Pavona. Moving on to some bigger and better things. He made us look good for so many times here while we're on the microphone. Just wanted to wish my good man Chris Pavona some luck in his next job here. That'll do it for this week. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy your weekend, and I will see you back here on Monday.